Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How to have fun. Anytime. Anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Today on The Grave Talks, The Ghosts of Appalachia, a conversation with Pam Huff and Rhiannon Kennedy. How haunted is West Virginia? According to Appalachian Ghost Tours, very. Founded by Pam Huff, Rhiannon Kennedy, and Mark Covey, Appalachian Ghost Tours is more than just a group of paranormal enthusiasts. They're also on a mission to revive small-town tourism by shining a light on West Virginia's haunted history. From the eerie Mayberry Mansion to the tragic past of the Price Mansion property, the team shares ghostly experiences and how they're helping local communities grow through the power of paranormal tourism. We explore the mysteries of West Virginia and ask the ultimate question: what really lurks in the shadows of those forgotten locations? Today on The Grave Talks, we talk about Appalachian Ghost Tours, a conversation with founders Pam Huff and Rhiannon Kennedy. So with the Appalachian Ghost Tours, you guys founded this along with Mark. Is it Covey or Covey?
Covey.
Covey. How did this come about?
Well, we started this. We had all attended different events through a group called Haunted Beckley. And they were also in Southern West Virginia. And we had enjoyed those events, but we wanted something more, you know, different locations, things like that. So we started talking one day and said, well, you know, why don't we do something similar? And we did. It was that simple. I work with a festival in McDowell County, which is the poorest county in the United States, and it's an economic development project that was developed there, a motorcycle sports car ride. And I do the festival there every year, and we had always done a paranormal investigation at a building down there as a fundraiser, you know, so that was something we had done. Well, we did one, it was in September, wasn't it, Ray? It was Friday the 13th, as a matter of fact. But we did one down there on Friday the 13th, and we had 85 people show up, which we were not prepared
for. Wow.
Not for the three of us.
That took a minute for that to soak in with me. 85 people, like, that's huge.
Yes. And so, you know, after that happened, we started talking about, you know, we could start looking into doing this. And so we actually have kind of taken it up. Of course, we love the paranormal. We ghost hunt ourselves. You know, we will go with other groups when they do things that, you know, we're interested in. But the idea behind it was seeing the interest there from the community and being able to. Most of the locations we go to are historic homes that live on donations and grants and things like that. So when we do these events, you know, for us, it's giving back as well. Even though we're having fun doing what we love and sharing our hobby, we're also donating. The majority of what we make goes, you know, to the historic home or the museum or whatever site we're in as donations to help them keep their doors open.
I think that's wonderful. Because, you know, it's not a community with a lot of extra money. And so that makes a huge difference to them.
No, and we want to get people into the smaller towns, not just like the big, like Trans-Allegheny and places like that, which are well known and well loved, but there are buildings like in Hinton, West Virginia. There are buildings in McDowell County, you know, that people have always wanted to get into, and that's what we look for, the little places and the little museums that really need the tourism.
Now, I want to ask both of you, but I'm going to start with Pam. What got you interested in the paranormal? Does this go back to when you were a little kid? Had you heard stories or just read a book?
You know, I was born interested in the paranormal. I was always that weird kid that, you know, everybody else is interested in a TV show or what sporting events going on, and I'm sitting in the corner reading a Stephen King book. But you know, I've always had a fascination with it. I mean, even going back to being, you know, a little kid, like, you know, first, second grader, I remember the Inquirer. I don't. You're probably not old enough to remember that.
Oh, but, no, I'm quite old. So, yes, I remember that.
But I remember they would have articles about Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster or, you know, Bat Boy or something like that, some kind of cryptoid. Or they might have a paranormal article, mm-hmm. you know, about a haunting. And I was so fascinated with those from day one for as long as I can remember. And as I've gotten older, the fascination has done nothing but grow. So now, you know, that's my hobby. I go look for it. It's just something that I've always had an interest in and I've always loved.
Now, when you were younger, had you had a paranormal experience? And if not, have you had one since you've started all this investigation? Some things that you couldn't explain?
Well, I have had paranormal experiences, I think, my entire life. You know, As a kid, I remember strange things happening, you know, maybe having a conversation with someone that no one else remembers even meeting this person, you know, like when I was a little kid and saying, but mommy, the lady at the store, and apparently the lady at the store, either mom didn't remember her at all or didn't realize I spoke to the lady or she didn't exist. So there's always been some things like that. There have been some things that, you know, I attributed to dreams, maybe, mm-hmm. as a kid. You know, so I couldn't swear by those. There are none engraved in my mind to the point that I would swear it was paranormal. Now, as an adult, doing these ghost hunts that we go on and these paranormal investigations, that absolutely we have had.
I want to get into that because you sent me some locations that I want to talk about today. And Rhiannon, what about you? How did you get interested in the paranormal?
Kind of the same. I was always that weird kid. We had, in my grade school, there was a, and I don't know why, but there was a graveyard on the hill behind the school. And I would always want to go up there and look around. And then things would happen at my house. Like, just weird things. Like, I can remember, because we were heavily religious when I was growing up, and I was saying my rosary, and something jumped on my bed and grabbed my ankle. Mm. I'm an only child. So it wasn't like, you know, brother, sister, had no pets in the house. There was no cause for that. And it's just throughout life, I've seen things and heard things. My house here is very haunted. We see a lady walk around in the back room, and you'll see, like, my trash bin, the doors on it, like on the top, will go up and down on its own. Cabinets will open up while you're sitting here. Like, just crazy stuff. And you're like, okay. So I didn't do that. And I look over at my boyfriend. He's like, well, it wasn't me. You've seen I'm sitting here. You know, there's no explanation for it. And I've always wanted an explanation.
That's the thing. I think I would like to know why this happens, how it happens, and all of the behind the scenes stuff. But I really don't think we'll ever really, really know.
No.
I think you find out maybe once you pass away. Maybe then it's clear.
And I think it's a confirmation that there is more than this for me, too. I want to know that there's more than this life, that there's an afterlife.
Yes.
If that makes sense. I think everybody wants that.
I would just like to know. And that had to have been hard for you having experiences and living in a very religious household, because that might not have been anything you could talk to your parents about.
Well, my mom, and she, if she was living, she would kill me for telling this, but she would see things. She would see people. Like when I was very little, a little girl in like frontier kind of clothing would come and sit on the side of her bed and wake her up every night. And then she would disappear and it would scare her. So she would come and check on me and I was fine. But that happened for years. And then she'd be like, I seen a man in a red hunting cap. And then she would back up and say, oh no, I was probably dreaming that. I'm like, Mommy, you're wide awake. I was looking at you. So she struggled with her religion versus what she's seen all her life.
And that would be difficult, too, because to square that up, is it mental illness? Are you seeing paranormal things? Either one of those things aren't good.
No.
So that would be really hard for her.
Yes. And now, after she's passed, I'm pretty sure she messes with my dad.
No, these are great stories. I love them.
My dad, share.
He's had paranormal experiences, but he's the kind he doesn't believe in, like, ghosts. He thinks when you die, you go to heaven. Or, you know, he's very stuck in his ways. And he loves technology. Loves it. He has an Alexa and a Hey Google. He has one in the living room, one in the dining room. And they'll just go off randomly and talk to him. He was talking about one of his cousins, and it wasn't the nicest conversation. And all of a sudden it came through and said, well, that wasn't nice, Michael, was it?
Oh, wow.
And I was on the phone with him, and he just, like, turned pale, and I just laughed. I said, that's Mom.
That's pretty awesome if it's your mom.
Oh, I think it's. And she was very mischievous. She liked to play tricks and joke and laugh. And she would be having a hard time thinking it's just wonderful to mess with him, you know. And stuff like that happens. He has driveway alarms that'll go off if somebody comes up the driveway. And they'll go off. So he gets up out of the comfy couch. And he'll go, look. Nothing there.
Nothing there.
He'll come sit back down, cover back up, grab the phone because he FaceTimes me. And it'll go off again. And it'll do it like 5 or 6 times. And that's Mom, I'm telling you. That's something she would do just to make him get up and go look.
And then he's like, you trying to have a conversation.
He's like, I bet it's a squirrel. Yeah, Dad, it's a squirrel in the middle of the night.
Whatever you need to tell yourself, Dad.
Yeah.
Do you find... And I'll start with Pam. Do you find West Virginia to be in the area of West Virginia that you live in? It's pretty rural, right?
I mean, well, compared to most places, it is. Now, southern West Virginia in general with the coal fields, there's a couple of counties that are more rural. Right where I am at is one of the bigger, more well-known towns for West Virginia, but still wouldn't compare to, you know, like New York or Chicago or something like that.
Like Kansas, where I live, is not rural, but it's a very rural state.
And that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, we've got. You know, all of the chain restaurants, the interstate runs by here. We have the shopping centers, I wouldn't consider it rural. Now, if you go on the outskirts, that's where you will get into like your farmlands and your more rural areas.
Now, some of these locations that you investigate, they're kind of out there, right, in smaller towns?
Yes, that's exactly what we look for, is the towns that were, you know, built on coal or railroad or something that is dying out, and they're losing they're losing jobs, they're losing those resources, the local businesses may be struggling. And our goal is to pull in that tourism, to spend those dollars at those local businesses, as well as to boost those historic buildings. You know, that, and the historic buildings seem to always come with stories attached.
Right.
So,
do you find West Virginia to be, to have a lot of haunted locations?
Yes. I think West Virginia has an energy like no other. You know, and the song Country Roads kind of sums it up with that one line, life is old here, older than the trees. You feel it when you come here. It's different.
When you decided to do these ghost tours, you're particularly looking for those locations. How hard were they to find? Did people in those towns go, we got a location for you?
You know, it has been remarkably easy for us. We have managed, and I don't know what we're doing right or what we are doing different, but literally all we have to do is call, talk to them, tell them what we're doing. You know, they let us right in. I don't know what that says about them, but you know, they'll open the doors right up. They're eager to see what we do and to be a part of it. We've gotten into more never investigated places than I ever dreamed possible. And we have been doing this for less than a year. So it's, you know, it's not like we've been around forever and had time to really build a big reputation. But, you know, we started September of last year. It's honestly been remarkably easy.
Now, Rhiannon, when you go into a location, when you find a new location, do you guys as a group go in and investigate it first?
We like to, yes. Now, when we approach the owners of, like, the venue and stuff, we also like to go and meet them personally to build that personal bond with them so they do trust us and they understand we're not here to make a mockery of it or anything like that. And then we will get with them and figure out, like, a date we can go as a group and get the feel for it, get the evidence. We'll do, like, Facebook Lives, things like that. And then that way, when we have the public in, we know what we're doing. We know what we're talking about.
Pam, when you go into these locations, how much do you research the history of the location?
We do a deep dive. We will research everything that we can find about the family lineage of the home. We will go to the courthouse and pull deeds to find every single owner. We will reach out to any living family members that we can find, and we've been really good at tracking them down.
And libraries.
Yes, libraries. But we will dive in as far as we can possibly go with it, you know, and find as much as we possibly can. Now, obviously, you know, with a lot of the places, there's going to be secrets that you don't find on paper anywhere. You'll find the dry facts, but we go absolutely as far as we can.
Well, let's talk about some of these locations, and I'm going to start with, and I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, was it the Mayberry Mansion?
Yes.
Because it's spelled a little unusually.
Yes, it is.
It's a very interesting looking house, right? Too. And it's quite large.
Well, it is. It's a beautiful home. It is, I think they started construction on it in 1898. It was built by a coal baron. His name escapes me. I know it was Jones.
James Elwood.
Yes, James Elwood Jones.
I dove in and did a little research myself.
I don't know where my brain went, but he was actually the son of another coal baron, Jenkin Jones, and there is a town named after his father.
I saw that. That made me laugh. I was going to ask you if it's still, it's called Jenkin Jones, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Which kind of made me laugh, first and last name.
Yes, but it is a beautiful place. Now, things I can tell you, you've obviously seen the pictures.
Oh, and describe it, because it is quite interesting.
Well, the ballroom.
Massive.
The ballroom is like a semicircle. There is stained glass windows throughout, and those were actually imported from Scotland. Mm-hmm. The teak wood in the ballroom is still to this day just gorgeous, and it was actually imported from Brazil. And you know, you think about now, we could just hop on the internet mm-hmm. and order something like that and have it shipped with no problem, but that was in 1898.
Right.
But the home is absolutely magnificent. The stories in the home are remarkable. It's a beautiful place. I think, trying to think of the number of bedrooms, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 9 bedrooms in there, and it'll sleep about 20. And I think it's got 1, 2, 3, 4 full baths and a half bath. Beautiful place. You can actually rent the home.
I saw it's on Airbnb.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Through the West Virginia Way, you can actually rent the home and stay in it yourself. And that's something we have been planning to do, is for all of us to just pick a day that we're free and rent the home so that we can just roam it ourselves for a night, because we've gotten some really crazy activity there.
Well, and it did have a tragedy happen within its walls.
Yes.
Elwood, the Jones, Jenkins, they had it for quite a while, and then it was sold to another family, correct?
Okay, so the succession with that, the Jones had it. Now, I'm not going to be able to tell you the exact death dates. I think it was in the 30s that Elwood Jones actually had a heart attack and passed in the home by the fireplace that is in the little sitting room off the ballroom. Nancy Jones, their 16-year-old daughter, passed about exactly a year later from pneumonia and influenza. After she passed, I guess the mother didn't really want to stay there. She was from up north. I'm thinking maybe around Baltimore. I could be wrong.
It was too hard for her to stay there.
Absolutely. And I don't know for a fact that Nancy was the only child, but I know that she was very doted on. There are still photographs of Nancy with both of her parents all over the home. And you can just tell that she was, you know, the joy of their life. So the mother at that point actually gave the home over to the Pocahontas Fuel Company. And they had it until the 50s. I think it was 56 that they put it up for auction. Mm-hmm. And it was purchased then by Dale Henderson, D-E-L-L. His wife, Grace, and their daughter, Judy, took possession of the home at that time. They purchased it for $15,000. So they moved in. They eventually adopted David Henderson. Then Mr. Dale Henderson did pass in the home, but it was natural causes. After Miss Grace passed away, they left the home to their daughter, Judy. Judy did not want to live in the home herself, so she offered it to her adopted brother, David, for him, his wife, and his mother-in-law to move into the home, and they accepted. And they had only been there maybe 2 years before the tragedy occurred.
And can you explain what it was that happened? Do you really know? I mean, you know what happened to them, but...
Well, I know we both know quite a bit. Some of it we're not supposed to know, but... some of it is fairly common knowledge. So there was an affair ongoing between Jeanette Henderson and a gentleman by the name of Tony Allen. and had apparently been going on for years. Now, depending upon whom you speak with, the family will say, oh, David did not know about it. If you talk with the locals, David knew all about it. So, you know, it and was not opposed to it. There was, you know, there's some stories. I mean, out of respect for the family, I won't go too far into
that. Well, it was 1998, I think, when that happened. So there's still family members.
Yeah, sure.
And friends.
Yeah. But, you know, some of the locals do say that David had known about the affair, that Tony was a guest at their home all the time when David was there, that, you know, that it didn't seem to be an issue as far as, and even the family will tell you it was more of a marriage of convenience, that, you know, Jeanette and David were very close friends, but, you know, they never gave the vibe of being madly in love. The story goes that Jeanette was on the phone with Tony Allen, and it was a Friday night, Friday the 13th, as a matter of fact, February.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Allen had wanted to come over, and Jeanette had told him it wasn't a good time, that it was Friday the 13th. She was very superstitious about it. So she said, you know, we'll talk tomorrow. Well, tomorrow was Valentine's Day, Saturday the 14th. That came and went. No one in the family heard from them. No one knew what was going on. On the 15th, after not being able to reach them, they did contact the police to do a well-being check. The North Fork, West Virginia Fire Department responded, and that's when they found them. They found Martha Barber, the mother-in-law, in the half bath under the stairs. She had been shot. David was on the second floor landing by the attic stairs, also had been killed by gunfire, and Jeanette had been running up the stairs, and they found her on the landing on the attic stairs, and you can honestly still see the bullet holes that, to this day, in the wood there on the attic stairwell.
How tragic. So did they arrest anybody for this?
Well, yes, they did arrest Tony Allen for this, and he was convicted. He passed away. It's not been too terribly long ago. I can't remember the exact date, but at CAMC, a hospital in Charleston. But he was still incarcerated at that time.
He appealed a few times. You can find the records online.
Interesting. Does the community think they got the right guy?
It's very mixed opinions. There are those that staunchly believe that Tony Allen did this.
Because he would have some motivation.
Right. And they talk about him being really into guns and being, you know, ex-military and, you know, kind of a Rambo personality, you know. So there's several that really honestly think that he did it and you'll never change his mind. And then, you know, there are others that absolutely don't believe that he had anything to do with it.
It's just so tragic.
It's horrifying. Two families had major losses there.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know, Tony's family as well as, you know, David and Jeanette's. So it was a horrible thing. And in that time, nothing like that happened around here. So, you know, I can remember it being huge on the papers.
Oh, I bet.
And on the news.
I bet.
And you can look at the court records. You can see the testimonies. It's all out there. I mean, it's all public.
And it's very interesting reading. I do recommend before forming an opinion on whether Tony Allen is guilty or not guilty to look at those court transcripts, because it definitely sheds a lot of light.
What kind of experiences have you had in there? Before I even finish the question, what kind of paranormal activity have you experienced? And I'll start with you, Pam.
Well, let's see. Spirit box sessions. David does come through loud and clear every time. He's very much a prankster. We have gotten intelligent responses to questions from him. I'll tell you, the funniest thing with David is he will start to mess with us. He knows when we're coming because things will start happening to us in our own homes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Starts about 2 days before we're scheduled to go. And one of his favorites, and I guess because he doesn't want us there, one of his favorites is he will hide things that we need to take with us.
And that happens to you and Rhiannon?
Yes, it happens. We have about 10 people in leadership with this group that will help with the events and everything. It happens to everyone.
Nuh-uh. That's really interesting.
Yeah, you'll lay an EMF meter on your table to pack it. You'll go into, say, the kitchen to get something to drink, come back, it's gone. And you know you didn't take it with you. And then you can say, bring it back. And you can go out of the room, come back, it's right back where you left it.
And that happens to everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I know people are going to say we're crazy, but I promise you it happens.
Well, a lot of people listening to this have experienced weird things like that. We're all kind of a like-minded community here.
Good. We're not crazy, I promise.
No.
Well, now, I don't know. Just because these things really do happen don't mean we're not a little crazy.
That's true. That's true. You can still be both things. And so once you get out there, because it almost feels like it could be playful or it could be mean-spirited. He really doesn't want you in the house. Do you pick up on that when you get there, or is it... It's nothing dark, really?
Well, every once in a while, it gets a little dark in there. It's more more annoyed, I guess, than it would be dark or scary. There have been some odd things happen in the home. I'm trying
to
think.
Footsteps.
Yeah.
You'll be in the ballroom area, and you'll hear footsteps upstairs. No one's upstairs. The way that the house is set up, the room beside the stairs where David was found, you can lock yourself into that hallway and there's a bedroom. So you can lock the hallway, you can lock the stairs, you can lock the bedroom. So I always choose that one because I take my dog with me wherever I go. About 2 a.m., Nyx, my dog, loses her mind barking in a corner. We're asleep, like we've already laid down. And I finally calmed her down, and then I hear it. And you hear somebody walking outside the door, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then when I got up the next morning and went out, the stairway doorway was wide open, but the lock was still in place. And I know I lock it because I am very... OCD where my dog is concerned because I don't want her roaming. So I lock every door before I go into that bedroom and then lock that bedroom door. And that stairway was wide open with the lock in place.
And your dog picked up on it. I always say, look to the animals.
Yeah. Oh, she lost her mind. And I'm like, you need to calm down. I'm tired. It ain't going to get us. Go on back to sleep. But yeah, she lost her mind. She's very nervous in that house. She'll just kind of walk circles. Like, she won't mess with anything. She doesn't want to play with anything. She just wants to walk in circles like she's on patrol.
Because she probably is. She's thinking she has to protect you guys.
Probably.
You know?
But yeah, like, and she's a Labradoodle, so you know they're hyper. They like to play. And yeah, wants nothing to do with it. And if you take her out to potty, she's, like, trying to get to the car. Like, you're having to pull her away from the car. You know, we're going home soon, but not right now.
Because yeah, I think
that's the only place she has not liked.
I was going to ask, because I think it would be difficult to take a dog with you at a lot of locations because
that's the only one right there.
Oh, yeah. Just that one.
Yeah, just that one. She's been other places, and it doesn't bother her.
Now, do you take groups to this location pretty frequently then?
We try to because it is so active. And we have a good relationship with the homeowner. Really good guy to work with. And you can do like overnights. People can rent it, you know, and it's comfortable. I mean,
it's nice. It looks really nice.
They have really comfy couches and stuff you can hunt on. It's great. You know, I'm old.
What kind of activity have you experienced there, Pam?
At Mayberry? Well, like we said, the footsteps, of course, you know, you have the EVPs, spirit box will go like crazy there. The EMF meters will stay on red a good deal of the time. We have seen the outline of a shadow person in a laser grid. The intelligent responses that we get there, I think, is the biggest thing for me, because I'm sure you and your listeners are familiar with the Estes method. Mm-hmm. And we can do that. And it is like having a literal conversation that makes perfect sense. It's not random things.
And go ahead and describe that just for someone who's not familiar with it.
Sure. So what we do with the Estes method, we use a spirit box. We plug a set of noise-canceling headphones in. The person who is listening to the spirit box that will scan radio channels, and you'll just pick up a random word here and there, or sometimes you even hear words in the static. But they can't hear what we're asking. So if we say, what is your name? And it responds with, you know, the name of someone that had been in the home, or, you know, then we consider that an intelligent response. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, if it responds with an ad for a used car lot or a furniture store, they're just hearing some on the radio. But, or if there's no response, no words picked up, you know, that's obviously not an intelligent response. But with that home, you can get major activity that way. So that's really interesting. The last time we were there, I was doing, and I've got two spirit box stories with activity. The last time we were there, I was doing a session. And we had cameras set up throughout the house, so no one saw this, you know, in person. But we did see it later on the cameras. But I had the headphones on, and I normally have a terrible time making it out. I'm terrible at it. It just so happened I was the volunteer. Then I said, you know, I'll try. I never can understand it, but I'll try. Well, it was coming through loud and clear. Of course, I had no idea what I was being asked, so I didn't know if the responses were intelligent mm-hmm. or not. Everyone said that they were after it was over, but when we went back and watched the video, there were orbs constantly coming up around me, in front of me, and there was one point in time when I was looking down, had my eyes closed. And I raised my head up, and my face went completely white. It was like, you know, when you were in grade school and you would get your class pictures and everybody would exchange, and then you'd get mad at somebody and you'd scratch their photo, and it was just jagged, kind of yellowed out. That's exactly what it looked like. It wasn't like a burst of light. It wasn't anything like that. It was like something had just completely scratched the features off of my face. Now, did anybody see that while it was going on? No. Also had lights. We were sitting there once again, I didn't have the headphones on this time. Someone else did, but I had a REM pod sitting in front of me. The REM pod itself did not light up, but a little ways right in front of it, not the actual REM pod, but maybe about a foot away from it. And once again, we didn't see it with the bare eye. But we had blue, white, and red lights float up from the floor in front of it. And it was almost like, looked like a sparkler, like from a firework. It floated up and went out really quick. So, you know, those are the two biggest.
That's interesting.
And once again, it was all on camera. I didn't see it while I was there.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Pam Huff and Rhiannon Kennedy about Appalachian Ghost Tours. For more information, just search Appalachian Ghost Tours on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up on patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.